Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Emer O'Neill, presenter and activist, got an email apology from Tommy Tiernan this week, followed up by a phone call. Now, 2 weeks ago, Emer was at a gig in Vicar Street and Tommy told a joke that began with a trip to the zoo and ended with a punchline about taxi drivers. And Emer O'Neill, as a black woman, felt that joke was overtly racist and she left the venue. And Emer is here. Good morning to you, Emer.
Good morning, Claire. Thanks for having me.
Does that describe what happened?
Yeah, in a nutshell, yeah. I have since learned that I wasn't the only person that was offended by it. So it was the first that I heard from somebody that was actually at the gig as well with a number of friends, and they said they saw me leave and they were absolutely disgusted. Mm-hmm.
Can you go back? Because I just want to know what that feels like to be in a room where you feel I have to stand up here and leave.
Yeah, and there was also that part of me that's like, Emer, you're an activist for anti-racism. Why aren't you saying something? You know, even with the very first comment of I'm standing here in front of a room of white faces. Why didn't you stand up and say, well, I'm not white. I'm white and black. But I couldn't. And I felt like a fraud nearly, because I do workshops, I go to schools, I talk to kids, I tell them stand up for what you know is right and do it in safe ways. But, you know, silence is compliance, you know. But in that moment, I kind of froze, I think. And after the joke was told and everybody was laughing and he said, you know, well, it obviously wasn't racist because yous are all laughing. My friend, I just felt her hand on my back. She just started rubbing my back. The people to my left, I could hear one of them say, oh, she didn't find that funny. There were a few people in the crowd that were kind of looking at me, because you're going to do that. You're going to be like, OK, well, we all thought it was funny, but what does the one black person in the room think of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then my other friend just said, we're leaving. And I said, I'm not leaving right now. And they were like, we're leaving. Like, we're not staying after that. And I just said, just give it a minute until he moves on to other things and it's not as obvious why I'm standing up, because the last thing I want is to stand up and be heckled. Like, there goes my taxi driver, you know, or, oh no, another snowflake offended, you know. So for others, you know, that don't have lived experience of what it's like to encounter things like that pretty much in any social gathering you go to, they had forgotten about the joke when he'd moved on to the next or the next, you know, so I felt safe to stand up and leave. And I didn't want it to be a big scene, you know.
And then you did go public with it and what happened and how you
After
felt.
Beating myself up for a while in terms of why didn't you say something, and you know, it was cowardly of you, you know, you should have addressed it right there and then, but I'm human at the end of the day. So I went public with it. I thought it was an important thing to talk about. Tommy has a massive following, you know, and I just, in this day and age, I just can't believe that, you know, that kind of a joke is something that could be in any way acceptable.
Mm. And tell me about the response that you got after you went public.
So on my Instagram, on my page where I posted what happened, very positive things. Because the people who follow me are allies, they're friends, they're people who are on their journey to allyship, they're doing the work to understand what it is like to be from a minority community, an ethnic minority community. But in terms of other places, so let's say under newspaper articles and on Facebook, the commentary there was horrific, Claire. Like, I can't even, it was an absolute disgrace. And it turned from a singular attack against me in terms of why is she pulling the race card? She's a wannabe, she's trying to get 5 minutes of fame, tried her hand at presenting, was crap, and this is her way to get her name back out there. So these were personal attacks, but it changed from that rhetoric to, you know, and this was one, I think, that it went deep. This one went deep. You know, they're not real Irish. They're wannabes. They're wannabes. And they wouldn't get our Irish humour. And there are plenty of boats and planes that they can get on and go back to Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we know why you hesitated to to stand up
exactly,
and walk out.
Exactly. It says it all. And I think the scariest part for a lot of people from my community is... See, it's not shocking for us. It's shocking for many. And a lot of the messages that I've received have been, I am just in absolute shock. I'm appalled. I'm shocked. But I'm not shocked because I'm used to this kind of thing. It's just that people don't, like, a lot of people from the ethnic minority community don't have platforms to talk about these things, nor do they feel safe to do so. And as you know, this isn't the first time that I have spoken out about harassment and discrimination and issues that I've gone through. And as a result of that, you know, my name was graffitied all over my hometown. My house was egged. There was acid pouring on my neighbor's car. I was getting death threats, you know. It was horrendous. So I knew by posting this that definitely, you know, something, there would be hate. But over the course of many social media outlets, there is probably about 6,000 comments, and 99% of those comments are negative and are of the commentary of, all of yous need to go back to your own country and leave Ireland to the Irish. And it just kind of really has shown how racism is so ingrained in our society, whether we want to admit it or not. Like, it's really hard to ignore it when you see these kind of commentaries. And it's not bots, it's not fake accounts, it's not just, you know, random trolls, like a one person doing it all. When you click on the comments, it'll bring you to a page where it'd say, you know, member of Facebook since 2009. Their profile picture is them with their kids, with their loved ones, with their family. Like, they're real people, and mm-hmm. they actually have no shame in even saying these things.
Tommy Tiernan is known to be outrageous, and I know some of the comments you got were, you know, you can't tell Tommy Tiernan what to say.
Yeah.
Tommy Tiernan, you knew what you were going to. What do you say to all of that?
Well, first of all, I didn't know what I was going into. Obviously, I know Tommy Tiernan, the name. It wouldn't be my genre in terms of, like, comedy. I'm not a massive comedy goer.
So you've never been
to a gig. I've never actually seen any of his shows on RTE or any of that. And I did not realise until afterwards, you know, that he had made certain statements about people with Down syndrome, that, you know, the travelling community and in general that minority groups kind of are a thing that he does to get a laugh. I didn't know that. And if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have gone. But
I'm
glad.
People, I think people who've seen his show on RTE and haven't seen him live probably wouldn't know that either, because
yeah,
it's a very different thing.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. But I'm glad that I went, because I think it was important that it happened. I think everything happens for a reason. There was a reason why I was there that night. And there was a reason why what has ensued. Because at the end of the day, you know, Tommy reached out to me.
Yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So I got the email. And it, like, just to put it shortly, you know, he apologized for the hurt that was caused. He expressed that I was right to take a stand and call him out. And that it was offensive, and that he would do his level best going forward to ensure that he would, that nothing like this would happen again. And I did. I mean, it's an email, so you try your best to get, you know, you're not talking to somebody, but I felt like it was genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you'd like to talk on the phone, you know, send me your number. So I thanked him for his words. I sent him my number. I said I would welcome a call. And he rang me that day, and we chatted for nearly an hour. And it was a very positive conversation as far as I'm concerned. He did a lot of talking. He expressed things to me that I just felt were so powerful. One of the things he said to me was that as a middle-aged white man, he did not have the right to decide what was and wasn't offensive to an ethnic minority group, considering he has no lived experience as one. And I just kind of thought, wow. Because it was clear that he had done some reflection. He really did.
Did he say to you that it took you walking out and going public to come to that realisation?
He didn't say that, but he said that it wasn't until this moment in time that I actually understood that as a white person, I don't actually have any say in what's offensive to you. And he said, it took until this moment in time that I actually understand that. And I told him, you know what that meant, that it was huge. And it takes people a long time to get there. I don't know why we as humans are so hesitant to allow the concept that there's racism, you know, everywhere we look. But I do believe that once you allow yourself to see it, you can never unsee it again, and you'll see it everywhere. You'll see the discrimination, the lack of representation. And it's just, it's like putting the shoe on the other foot and putting yourself into someone else's position for a moment and just imagining what that is like. And I think that helps people to really understand, you know, how difficult it must be for ethnic minority people, because your skin colour is not something you can hide. The minute you walk into a room, you're walking down the street, you're going in for a job, no matter what it may be, it's the first thing people see about you, and their unconscious bias, it's the first thing that they judge you on also. One of the things I did say to Tommy was this realization and the reflection that you've done here and the things that you have said to me are so powerful. For you to make a public statement to that effect would really change the mindset of so many here, your followers, the people of Ireland. It will also allow our allies and people from our community to say to themselves, you know what, standing up for what is right is okay. And even if it's not the most popular opinion, it doesn't make it not right, you know, to give them that courage.
So you suggested that he might consider doing that. What did he say?
He expressed that he had taken the joke immediately from his set, and that he wrote me the email and also rang me.
So you don't think he's considering making a public statement about it? I have a statement from his team here now, which I'll bring you in just a minute, because we asked him to come on the programme. But you want him to take a public stand on this.
It's not even that I want it. I just believe, like, because it was so genuine, our conversation, and I really, really felt like, you know, there's some change that's happened here, mm-hmm. and it's amazing, and the effect that it could have on our country could be so huge. For some reason, the voice of a white person, a white Irish person, is so much stronger than it is coming from someone from an ethnic minority group. But
actually, I'm just going to go to the statement, because it tangentially addresses what you've asked him to do, because it says, on Friday the 6th of January, Tommy told a joke on stage as part of his stand-up routine. As soon as he received a complaint, he spoke to that audience member in order to understand where he went wrong. He immediately removed the joke from the set and apologised both personally by phone and email and publicly by addressing it on stage the following night and every night since, reiterating his apology. Tommy does not condone any negative online comments received by this audience member, and most definitely not in his defence. So what he is saying is, by publicly addressing it every night on stage, that is his public apology.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, so, I mean a public statement. You're the person who needs this to happen. I mean, this is what you're saying, that it would set, because you saw the understanding, you heard the understanding of what he said to you.
And
on the phone.
It's actually really great to hear that statement, because that's the first I've heard, and that's the first public statement I've heard from anyone affiliated with him. But it's not me that needs it.
But what you have said to me, Eimear, is that the power in what he learned, you heard that in that phone call, and you want everyone to hear that.
I do, and I believe that he's apologised to me, and I'm very thankful for that. But it is not only me that was affected by this. You understand that people, our allies, but especially the people from our ethnic minority community, Black and Irish community, had to see this absolutely vile commentary ensue that was directed at our community. So an apology to me is one thing, but when so many other people are affected by this, it's no good to just apologise to me. There is an entire community that have suffered from this. This was traumatic for other people. This was traumatic and triggering for people from our community, because they had to read things like, you Africans all need to go back to your own country. We don't want you here. They saw all of the threats. They saw the vile nature and the commentary from their fellow Irishmen. So again, I appreciate the apology to me personally. It's not what I want. I believe it would be an amazing thing to do for him to make a statement to the rest of Ireland so that our community can heal from that.
Particularly someone like Tommy, who is so popular and so well loved, and there's a real power in that.
I also had a couple of friends and people that reached out to me on Instagram that have gone to his show since, and they did express to me the joke is gone, but there was no mention of anything else. So I'm kind of a little bit confused by the public statements on stage.
Okay, well, we can only go on what he's told us, which is that it's been publicly addressed on stage the following night and every night since. But I'm sure we'll hear more
about
that.
I'd love to hear from other people that have heard that,
Thank you so much. You're a very brave woman. Thanks for coming in. Cheers. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.